This morning, as you've noticed in your bulletin, we begin the week of prayer for Annie Armstrong's. Encourage you to be in prayer for the missionaries that are listed this week. Just on a daily basis, take those that are in the bulletin and take time to pray for each of those. Many of those missionaries, as you talk to them over the years, they will tell you that they are dependent and waiting on those days that you will be praying for them. And many of them are looking at decisions that are lying ahead for them. So I encourage you to pray for them. Especially get on the Mission Board websites, International Mission Board, North American Mission Board, and they've also got their birthdays, and they await for you to be praying for them on their birthdays. So take those opportunities to pray for our missionaries that are gone on our behalf. So we come and we look at international missions, or not international, North American missions. One of these days I'll get my tongue straightened out. But we realize that within our nation, we live in a nation that is quickly becoming anti-Christian. Has anybody noticed? Has anybody just watched television lately? It doesn't take much to see it and to realize that it is taking place. We see it so many times, even within our politics that are taking place and those that desire to lead, and oftentimes it appears to be in some very ungodly ways. We are in a country now where other countries are sending missionaries to us. You go into some different parts of the United States, and missionaries from Africa are coming to the United States to be able to minister to us. It has not been that long ago that this thing is going to drive me crazy. It's not one to stay today, sorry. And wanting to come and minister the gospel in our land, because so many times their land has become more Christian than what ours has. Yet we, as a denomination, we have the North American Mission Board striving to reach our continent, United States and Canada, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have seen anything with Southern Baptist, you've seen there's been some reorganization over the last few years and a lot of re-emphasis on starting churches within our country. And it's necessary. You get, really, we're the line almost on the Ohio Valley. North, there's very few Southern Baptist churches. It's amazing. I go to Oklahoma, and we've got a church on every corner there, and I come here, and Georgetown has the most Southern Baptist churches, I think, of any town per capita in Indiana, it seems like. There's only 400 and some Southern Baptist churches here in Indiana. I believe it's 430. 100 years ago, in our country, we had one Southern Baptist church for every 3,897 Americans. Now it has doubled the population, not the churches. It's just unreal. In Canada, there's one Southern Baptist church for every 115,000 Canadians, a country that has even turned its back away from the Lord even more than us. Within Indiana, there's 12.5% of Indiana households attend what we would call an evangelical church at least once a month. That would mean that almost 68% of our households here in Indiana do not even have one evangelical believer in their home. Folks, it's necessary for us to understand that we need to be about the business of reaching people that are around us. And one of the greatest ways we can do that, and it's the emphasis would be today as we start the week of prayer, is through Annie Armstrong and giving to them. You have seen from this pulpit those that have been supported by Annie Armstrong. A few weeks ago, probably around Christmas time, Brad Walker came and preached for me. He is now the new pastor at Redeemer Church in Jeffersonville, starting a new church plant there. Within our association, we're looking at starting a church out near the Amazon plant and trying to reach the people that are moving out in that area. We see churches starting in Clarksville that are trying to reach Hispanic people in those areas. Folks, in Indiana, it's one of the greatest places to live and to be a part of Southern Baptist because we have such an emphasis on starting churches. The last meeting I was in with the state was we had over 30 church plants in Indiana this year. Amazing, exciting, joyful to see many reaching into Indianapolis and trying to reach the population centers there in Indianapolis. Just a joy to watch. And you and I, we have the opportunity to be able to support that as we give. Our goal this year is $2,000. We had a goal for Lottie Moon of $2,500 this year. We beat it by $200. I was excited to hear that. Amen? Amen? All right. Praise God. Praise God. And just grateful to see our hearts turning towards and supporting missions. Folks, it starts here, though. As you see on the screen, and it was very interesting to me, 1 year ago we took this text and we preached on it. Guess what was the text for Wednesday night as we went through the book of Matthew? The very same text. So we're going back and taking a look at it this morning with Annie Armstrong, just as we did a year ago. But you see here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, we see, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." As you look at this text, the first thing you really see is the compassion of Jesus. As we've walked through on Wednesday nights going through Matthew, we have watched Jesus perform multiple miracles. It is by no means all of the miracles that Jesus did. Scripture tells us there is no way that the books can contain what he did on this earth in the time that he had ministry here. But as we look back and we see how compassionate he was as he walked on the earth, we see him dealing with those people that nobody wants to deal with. I remember in the 80s when the AIDS outbreak took place. And I remember being called to take and to minister to people. And I particularly remember dealing with one that had died that had AIDS. And everybody was scared to death of AIDS, if you remember. This was the AIDS of the day. The leprosy. And this man, Jesus went to him and was willing to touch him and to love him and to care for him and to heal him. Those people that we wouldn't want to deal with because of fear. And Jesus did. We saw him with the faith of the centurion to heal his servant as the centurion came and he had such great faith. We see how that he healed one of them. One of the miracles was the two men with the demons. And in another text, we saw that they were actually running around naked. I don't know about you, but if somebody came up and it looked like they were controlled by a demon running around naked, I don't think I'm going to cast out a demon. I'm going to call the police. And Jesus cared for him. Cast out the demons. I mean, his compassion. Through everything that he did, he saw where people were at and the needs where they were at. And he dealt with them physically, but he most of all dealt with them from a spiritual standpoint, sharing the message of himself to them. The compassion of Jesus. He got his hands dirty, is what we would say today. He was willing to get in and to get involved in the mess. Folks, I'm here to tell you, not anything bigger mess than somebody that would be demon-possessed. And he got in the midst of it. Got involved with people's life. You remember as we're going through 1 Corinthians, we read this passage of Scripture. We spent a lot of time on this passage of Scripture. Paul says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a noisy, clanging cymbal." No, I'm not going to beat on the cymbal again. But you remember how annoying it was when I beat on the cymbal. Thank you, Jim. Who wants to listen to that day in and day out? Bang, 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 bang. That's us. Without love. You have all the prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, nothing. Jesus embodied that. As he dealt with people, and as we've looked at on Wednesday nights, that's what he did in his earthly ministry as he was going about for those few years. Everywhere that he went, he healed people. It seems that at that point in time, there was very little disease that was there. If Jesus had been there, it was gone. The compassion that he had for people. And he's looking out and he's seeing the diseases and all the afflictions. And he's seeing that they don't have a shepherd, somebody that is going to come along and tell them what they need. You say, well, I'm not a shepherd. That's your job. Partially. It's our job. Because we have the message to bring to people that don't have a shepherd and point them to the true shepherd, Jesus Christ. They're going everywhere. Does that sound like our society today? I mean, you can sit down and you can talk with people, and you know what? If you sit down with five people and you ask their opinion, you're going to get about eight. It's crazy. The people without a shepherd. And as Jesus is looking over this, he is seeing that they're just lost because nobody will sit there and tell them the truth. It's got all of the Pharisees and all the scribes that are coming along, and they are sharing with them all their rules and all the ways that they think it ought to be, but not pointing them to the way, the truth, and the life. The harvest. And he's looking out and he's seeing the harvest is plentiful. It's ripe. It's ready. There are people that want to hear the message of the gospel. Now, I don't know. Some of you may have been farmers and grown up as farmers. As you know, I'm a city boy. But my mother's home is in western Oklahoma. And we would go back on Memorial Day every year. And that's where my grandparents, or my mother's parents, are buried grandparents. And we would always end up being there at wheat harvest time. And I had some of the cousins, or however they were related, I'm not sure, that, you know, I always, when we went there, I would want to play with. But it's interesting, is we always went at harvest. They were never available. You know why? They were working. They were busy. I mean, we'd come in for 2 or 3 hours, decorate Grandma and Grandpa's grave, go and see an aunt and have a meal with her and want to see everybody else, but they're all out on the combines. They're all out driving trucks. I mean, at 11 and 12 years old, they're driving trucks and taking the wheat to the silos. Doing what they need to do. It was the realization that whenever the harvest is coming in, it is all hands on deck. Everybody. That's kind of like what we're doing right now, getting ready for the Easter egg hunt, huh? It's all hands on deck, right, Charlie? All right, as we bring those children in, as we hope to have the opportunity to share the gospel with them, plant those seeds as they are here, it's all hands on deck. But guess what? As we are looking out to our society, into the world, to the people that are around us, guess what? It's still all hands on deck. It's not just the special events. It's all hands on deck. Because the harvest, as he says right here, is plentiful. Are y'all on all hands on deck? Are you there? Well, you look out at Georgetown, and I said, you know, well, Preacher, we don't have to do much more. You said we got more churches per capita probably than any place in Indiana. This morning we might have 350 people in those five churches, maybe 400. And there's 7,000 that live in our community, in our zip code. Then there's a lot of us that we drive in from other places. There's from Floyd Knobs and from Hardensburg and from Fredericksburg and a few other burgs and, you know, all sorts of places. And the fields are ripe where you live. Are you in the midst of the harvest? Do you see the harvest that is there? You see, those people that are around you that don't know Jesus, we realize what's taking place with them. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning, but we're going to look at it again. But John 3:16, everybody knows that verse. Everybody loves that verse. It's our favorite verse. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And we believe that. We can quote it. We know it. We see here in verse 17, it says, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." You understand? They are around you, and they are the harvest. Have you shared the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You have neighbors. You've never found out where they are at spiritually. You have friends that you work with. You have friends that you go to ball games with. You have people that you see in every arena of your life, and you don't know where they're at. Folks, if they don't know Jesus, guess what? They are already condemned to hell. Hell. Are you putting faces on them? Are they popping in your mind of those people that you know that you haven't shared with, that if they were to die today, they'd be in hell? The harvest is there. Then he says, pray for laborers in the harvest. I shared with us Wednesday night as I read the text, and then I went on to the next verse. I told him I wanted you to do this one Sunday morning. But I'm here to tell you, I believe one of the most important prayers that we can pray as believers is praying for laborers in the harvest. You say, "Preacher, you preached this last year. I remember it." So, how's your prayer life for laborers in the harvest? It's been a year. You've had a year to get it all right, straight. You're praying for laborers in the harvest. Many ought to break our hearts as we look out and we see the harvest and the need for the harvest. And we see that the fields are ripe. And folks, we don't know who will come to know Christ. We don't know what will take place. We have the responsibility of sharing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they have the responsibility to respond. We read in Luke chapter 10 just a little bit ago that we have that responsibility, and woe to them if they reject the message. We see it even later on within chapter 10. Woe to them if they don't hear it. But we must share the message of Jesus. The harvest is ripe. Why do we go into the harvest? Why are we to be in the harvest? Why? Because we love the Lord and we love people It's a command that we have. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, we serve him and we tell people because we love the Lord and we want to share the message that he has given to us, that he has sent his son and paid the price for our sin. And we love people. As those people start popping in your head, as you start seeing them, you know what? It ought to break your heart. You notice in this passage it says that he is... I must be in chapter 10 here. I'm missing it right quick. Oh, yeah, there in verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Have you seen the crowds? You've seen them. You go to Walmart in the crowds. You go to a ball game and you see the crowds. You go to see a concert and you see the crowds. Everywhere that you go, do you see the crowds? And have compassion on them. Are you sharing him? Because you love him. We're commanded. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It's that go. It is that as you are going, it is the process of life. It is as we have compassion on them, as we understand and as we see what they are doing and how that they are responding and how that they are going in so many different directions and they have no shepherd, we have compassion on them as we're going about life. You know, I hope you go on mission trip. You got opportunity another week or so to sign up. But guess what? You should be on mission right now. It is not something that you have to go to Huntington to do it. You don't have to go overseas to do it. It is to be something that is taking place here. And then guess what? Yeah, can you go? Absolutely. Love to see you go. But be on mission here, making disciples of people. The great commission that we have to share the gospel. Are you? This preacher, I don't know how. You can wait for another program. We'll have an opportunity to train you again, or we'll walk you through it, and we'll do it again on a Sunday morning and tell you how to share the gospel. We'll do it on Wednesday night, or we'll do it Sunday nights at the Shelter House this summer, or there'll be other opportunities. Guess what? We can tell you, but what do you have to do? You have to go and tell. And share the message. Pray for them. Are you praying for workers? I promise you, as you pray for workers, who will be the first worker he will send? You. Promise. Guaranteed. It will take place. Who are you praying for their salvation? Who is lost that you are asking for their salvation? Who do you have an intentional relationship with, striving to share the gospel with them? You know, we have all sorts of excuses. But when you realize that we fail to do that and there's people that haven't heard about Jesus and where they're headed, how's your excuse stack up? We go. We go out into the harvest day in and day out. And sometimes we're just numb to the harvest. Wake up. Wake up and see the fields that are ripe. Don't wait. You say, another day. great trick by Satan. Just don't do today what you can put off until tomorrow, all right? No. Today. Where are you? Maybe you're here today, and as we've gone through this, and we looked at John 3:16, 17, and 18, you realize that you are one of those without Christ, and today you are already condemned. Let me tell you what, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're already condemned. You say, preacher, why? Because the Bible says we're all sinners, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And he says the wages of that sin is death. You hear that? You deserve to die. You deserve to go to a place called Hades, is what it said in Luke 10 earlier today. Hell. It's what you deserve. But God so loved you that he sent his only son. Paid the price on the cross. Shed his blood for you. He died, as we've looked at in 1 Corinthians 15, he was buried and he rose again, proving that he is the one and only Son of the living God. The only one that is victorious over death and still alive physically. The only one. And Scripture says you need to repent and be converted. Turn from your sin. You say, Pastor, there's no way I can change. I know myself. I'm stuck. You come and accept Christ by faith with a heart willing to repent. And you don't do the changing. He changes you, but you come with a willingness of heart. Will you come today? Accept Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here today and your heart's cold toward those that are lost. Let me tell you. It's time to repent of that sin also. Be moved by compassion for people that are headed to hell. Where are you today? Cold-hearted or hot-hearted for those who are lost? Where are you today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the call that you give us to go out into the harvest. Father, we know the harvest is hard work, and as a matter of fact, you tell us within your word that it's sometimes dangerous work. But it's what you've called each and every one of us to that know you as Lord and Savior. You have gifted some of us more to do it, but you have called us all to do that work. And Father, we pray that you would break our hearts over those who are lost, those within our family, those with that are our neighbors, those that we have any kind of relationship with. Father, we pray that we would have the boldness and the strength to be able to be obedient to you and share the message of the gospel. Father, we know that in our flesh, it will never seem right and it will never feel like it's comfortable. Obedience never is until we obey. Father, break our hearts. I pray for those in this room right now that don't know you as Savior. And Father, I pray that they realize right now that they are condemned to hell this minute until they come to the point of realizing that you are their Savior and have died to pay the price for their sin. Father, we ask that you guide, direct in this time of invitation this morning. And Father, we ask these things all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you stand?